Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, well, a win is a win. Does it matter if it came by way of initially ruled or most of what we thought was an own goal? Sure, but a win is a win. They are all worth 3 points in the end. Doesn't matter if you lose 5-1 or you win, or, you know, if you lose 1-0. In the end, all the matches are worth the same. Thankfully for Roma, the fire, at least for the moment, has been dampened. We will get into everything that took place between Roma and Torino tonight before getting into all of that. Of course, our patrons, thank you so much for your support. Patreon.com/RomaPress, at @isromapress. For the video version, like, subscribe, you know what to do by now. And thank you to everyone. We didn't make 500 episodes a big deal. And
didn't Roma lose?
Yeah, wasn't that the Inter match? It's only fitting that 500, 501, 502. It's only right. I mean, it would almost feel wrong if it came in a great moment, but truly, everybody, I mean, 500 of these, for there to even be enough people listening that we would need to put this many out is a testament to everyone. And I can't thank you all enough. We don't take the time out to sort of just step back and have some levity on the situation, because generally it's shit that we are involved in with Roma, but truly it does mean a lot. It's immense, and we can't thank you all enough. So truly, thank you to all of you out there. It truly does mean a lot to Andy and myself. 1-0. Mm-hmm. Roma, they beat Torino, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a win. It's a victory. It's 3 points.
I think a lot of people must be upset tonight. I think a lot of people,
they wanted it to be the day or the final evening of Juric, yeah?
I think so. I think this scoreline is not entirely convincing on either end of the floor, you know? Like, it doesn't speak in favor of Juric, and it doesn't allow the people that would want to move on from him to be able to celebrate that, because, you know, we've been hearing all week long that it came down to tonight being the night where Juric's fate is decided after Roma took their time to reflect and perhaps look for a replacement within the last few days after that terrible night in Florence. And tonight you win, but like with Dinamo Kiev, It's hard fought. It's difficult. It's borderline unpleasant, but it's
borderline.
A win. So it's a win. So on the final, you know, piece of paper, it says Roma have won, and this counts as 3 points in Juric's tally during his tenure at Roma. So far, the average points per game was, I think, 1.3, which was one of the lowest ever.
1.34, I believe.
And
which is fantastic.
That's not good. Tonight, that average goes up, obviously. But again, we are confronted with this feeling of uncertainty. And I think a lot of people that are upset tonight are upset because you don't know. You don't know what this win means in the long run.
You don't know what it means. Part of me wants to, because I am a bit of a hypocrite when I roll my eyes when you have many of the supporters who go against what is the betterment of Roma, where they want a negative result just so they can get the manager out. I've never really understood that point of view, because if you are in a position to where the manager is being questioned, it will eventually happen sooner or later. So I don't understand why going against your interests and going against the interests of Roma, that is never a good look to me. Particularly, I complain about them too much, but the Romanisti 1.0 are the first ones to throw that out about going against what's better for Roma, but then they're also the ones hanging these banners outside of Trigoria. So I never really am able to understand this sort of mindset, but they win. They needed to win. We still hear this chatter, I suppose, of top four being feasible, and the maths are obviously still in their favor. Clearly, there is still a lot of time. But Andy, when you watch this tonight, it's 3 points, but their inability to put the bread into the basket is it. This has gone beyond an exercise in patience. This is now an exercise in, can you maintain your psychological balance without being institutionalized whilst you're watching a match of Roma? It is mind-boggling to me how you this entire summer there was one department that was overhauled from top to bottom. That was the attack. And you, I mean, if we go down the list, you have Dovbik, he's done well. Sule, I don't even want to go down that path. Maybe we can save that for the winter break.
Well, I mean, no, it's, but it's, you know, there is no point in singling out individuals, because even Dovbik, the leading goal scorer, should have, if given the chances, should have maybe, you know, 5-6 more goals. But because practically in 3 or 4 games, he had no shot on goal. So that's what we're talking about. And tonight we're talking about a team that has to quickly adapt in a very difficult moment where you are called upon to deliver the goods without the likes of Dovbik and Pellegrini. You start Paolo Dybala as a false nine. You have Tommaso Baldanzi. You have Pizzilli playing further up. So all of it is still an experiment. And this is the worst time to be practicing with these things. And yet you are compelled to do so because this is what the moment calls for. After the match against Fiorentina, I said it to one of our patrons, our good friend James. I told him, you know, tonight, in my opinion, was either you blow everything up, as in Juric out and everything, and just the whole team just blows up, because a defeat after what we saw on Sunday would have been, I would have seriously feared for the safety of the players getting out of the Stadio Olimpico, or you get to live another day, you know. And this is what this victory means. That's the problem, is that it doesn't really satisfy us. It doesn't really give us something to look forward to. It only allows us to go through yet another day and look forward to another match to be played on the weekend. But that's about it. It does not resolve a lot of the issues that Roma have been plagued by in these opening weeks. So you are still unable to score. You still have a very inconsistent roster. You still have a lot of question marks sitting on the bench. And except for Dovbik, nobody gives you any stability in the attack. And you are barely scraping by these wins and these opponents, because once again, let's look at this calendar. This calendar so far has been pretty accessible for Roma, except for Juve and Inter. This has been a pretty decent opening to the season, and we have not taken advantage of it.
No, and it's funny you mentioned those two, the likes of Juve, Inter. Given the final results of those matches, I mean, let's remember, or let's not forget, do you remember what happened after that Juve match? We were on here relatively happy. What, the first time Roma held Juve to a clean sheet since...
Since
1999 or something?
At the Allianz, and also it was a bounce back. In our eyes, was a bounce back following the loss to Empoli. You know, were questioning whether the team would have it in them, especially because Juve had gone full throttle in the first two games of the season. They had annihilated Como. They had, they had gone on scoring routes. They were scoring left and right, and that was not happening for Roma. So, yes. So, if you think about the match day three and the way we came out of that 0-0 draw with Juve, the world was a bright place.
It seems like an entirely different season that we are talking about. We have to get into this attack, or I should say the lack of attack from Roma, because I have seen some very bad Roma sides. And I keep going back ever since you published that thing about Roma being off to their worst scoring start since 2010, 2011. And that season still is so vivid in my mind, because you come off of the high of nearly winning the Scudetto and it all goes to shit just some months later. And I cannot for the life of me ever remember, because there's a difference when you have, again, I always go to the Roma of 2011, 2012, when clearly you have to enter into the season with your expectations tempered, where you have to go into the season if you are being intellectually honest with yourselves that this is going to be shit. We're going to struggle, but we are at least doing so with an eye towards building something and establishing some sort of base to which we can build upon.
Yeah.
I look at now, and I am not saying, and I am not trying to accuse anybody of saying, well, Roma should have won, or I expected them to compete for the Scudetto this season. I don't think anybody was at that point.
No.
But top four, I think everybody was. No, but
absolutely, John. I was about to say that what we can agree on is no matter how dramatic people want to be, and I know that fans and patrons want to be dramatic, this team is not shit, John. You know, what I mean is Dovbyk, leading goal scorer of La Liga last season, nominated for the Ballon d'Or. Paulo Dybala, Lorenzo Pellegrini, Matias Sule, who led Frosinone all on his own last season. Tommaso Baldanzi, another exciting talent. That's more than Lorenzo Pellegrini. That's more than enough to put most of the teams that we faced in trouble. You know, you can like a certain player, or can dislike a certain player, but the truth of the matter is that the quality to beat the likes of Empoli, Cagliari, even Fiorentina for that matter, it's there. What we see consistently every week so far is that we are unable to put all of these things together. And the reason why someone like Matias Sule is completely lost is because the team is lost. And even the more experienced players are having a hard time. I mean, look at Dybala's season. You know, tonight, yeah, Dybala has a wonderful game. And the fact that he scores is very important for his confidence, because Dybala was the big missing piece so far, which was worrying because going into, you know, his third season at Roma, you would expect him to take you by the hand, especially given what went on this summer with his potential of departure, his decision to stay. You'd expect him to be the leader for the team. And unfortunately, so far, he's been far from it. He's been one of the players that have been, in my opinion, the most irritating to watch. Tonight he was very good, but the symptom, that lack of efficiency that we see in him, we see in Pellegrini, that just shows a major overarching problem that then obviously affects all the other pieces, such as Matias Sule, the fact that someone like Pizzilli, who is in his first season as a starter, who made his first start for Roma on match day three of this season, has to adapt to a new position, has to learn to play further up front, has to meet other tasks and fulfill other demands by a completely different coach than the one who gave him the start, which is Daniele De Rossi. And then Tommaso Baldanzi also, you know, being constantly asked to either play mezzala, to play trequartista, you know. So all these things causes a team to really have trouble finding their footing. So the team is there. That's the thing, and that's what frustrates me the most. You have Mats Hummels on the bench. You have Matthias Sule on the bench. I mean, you know how many teams would have loved to have Matthias Sule on the bench this summer? Like, that's the... You can't forget about that. You know, people get hung up on, or you know, immediately, even tonight, before the match, like one of those articles that are meant to provoke came up when the lineup was announced, or before the lineup was announced, and it was clear that Manu Kone and Enzo Lefebvre would start. There was a headline that read, the midfield worth 50 million euros will start tonight, you know, and just to sort of rub it in the fans' faces that, hey, if you're unhappy about how this team performs, make fun of that. Make fun of the fact that this team spent 50 million on two midfielders who are now having trouble settling in. I thought, that Manu Kone today did really well. There are encouraging things. That's the thing, is that there are encouraging things, but there are very few and far in between. And so far, the team, it seems like every match is a chore. It seems like every match is a great big suffering, not only to us fans watching it on the couch, but to the players themselves that are out there trying to get a result.
Because of that suffering, and in addition to there being very few things to rightfully applaud and be happy about, I just want to give an aside and dedicate at least some space of this episode to Svilar, man. He had a two pivotal saves tonight that I thought they not only kept the result, maintained the victory, but I can count, other than Alisson, I don't know if there has been anybody here capable of doing the things that he has. And by the way, he does these things so often that it goes overlooked because of all the other crap happening on the pitch. And by the way, I also want to give space to this because I don't know how many people saw this, but I can't imagine there's many people this tuned into. I mean, this is really scouring the depths of Italian football. But I watched an interview with Emiliano Viviano, the former goalkeeper of Fiorentina, Sampdoria. Where else did he play? It's been like he played some club recently in Turkey. And they were asking him, he was reacting to Juve weighing in on some of their recent results. And he commented on Mattia Parin. And he said that Parin is better than Svilar. He said he's better than Di Gregorio. There were a few other names in there as well. I think he said even Provedel, Carneschi. I mean, he went down this list of goalkeepers that clearly are better than Perin, but this is a guy in Viviano who anytime I can decimate him, I love to do it because he's one of those players that is a creation of the media where he is heralded as the next Gigi Buffon, half of a season as a starting top flight goalkeeper, and beyond that.
Yeah, but when was that? That's a long time ago. I think he also said that Dovbyk technically is far worse than Vlahovic.
Yes.
Which I would, if you were to mention any other striker, I would have probably agree with you, but after the kind of season that Vlahovic is having, after the kind of Euros that Vlahovic had with Serbia, please don't talk to me about technique and mentioning him as one of the better technical players in Serie.
I couldn't agree more. He, Viviano, has one of those faces too, you know, one of those faces only a mother can love. And you hear these takes from him, and you have to sit there like with a straight face and actually give credence to it, because this guy played top flight football and was heralded at one point for maybe 3 to 5 months as the next big thing, much like Scuffet. We could go down the list. But when I saw that earlier this week, I think he gave the interview on Sunday or Monday, and I nearly died. Again, you would have, in my place, there would have been an urn of ashes. Because
did you realize that you went from talking about SVR's performance in this Torino game to talking about 5 minutes about Viviano?
This clip has to be out there. I haven't searched, but somebody has listened.
Yeah, but people listening to this will have no idea. Do you imagine a fan from Indonesia who just started watching Roma maybe a year ago, and you're talking to him about Viviano, whose last season in Sampdoria was what, 2017? What are we talking about?
Is that
about
what
here?
It was?
I think so.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So, well, I had to put it out there because
John.
Never before has, you know, some guy who's probably playing in Serie C right now, have I ever grown so infuriated over an interview that he gave. But still, Svilar, man, in a team that is full of inconsistencies, to have him and Dovbik, I know you say blow it up, or there are a lot of people saying blow it up. I'm not saying that you are saying that, or how you had this discussion with one of the patrons earlier in the week.
I wanted to clarify. It was just my feeling that tonight could go either way. Either it was a disaster following that performance against Fiorentina, or you went on to play another game during the weekend.
Yes. So that brings us to now, obviously, the situation with Juric. I couldn't agree with you more by labeling this essentially living another day, survive and advance, so to speak. I would like to paint a much rosier photo and make this picture a lot more beautiful than what it really was. But I don't know if you are having a similar feeling. I think it really just delayed the inevitable. Is that how you feel about it? Because I just can't see what is going to be the path forward with him.
Listen. It's first of all, I think with Juric, we all know that it was always going to be until the end of the season. In the best of scenarios, it was always going to be until the end of the season. So that's what I'm working with in my mind, you know. Sure, it feels, you know, when you see this team struggle and really labor out any result is a huge, huge undertaking for them. And also you see how Juric's position is constantly undermined in the media, which means it comes from somewhere. Then you do have to start questioning whether there is anything in it for him, as in are we there? Are we fully on board with him or not? Like, that's what I want to understand. That's what I think everybody was eager to understand after the Fiorentina match, was what do Roma see? How do Roma respond to this situation? How do they read this situation? Because it all seemed like we could understand more or less where Roma were headed when De Rossi was here, you know, and it felt like, okay, well, they signed to a 3-year contract. So we were basically certain that, you know, whatever struggle we might encounter, the plan is long-term. Whereas in this situation, we don't know. Here, it's really day to day. It's come to that the results have been so dreadful that we live and survive. That's the thing. And I honestly pity Ivan Juric in this situation, because
I thought you were going to say you pity Cesc Fabregas being asked about signing Francesco Totti.
No, God, oh goodness. Well, yeah, that's a good reminder. Anyone who believes that, anyone who believes that Francesco Totti would be able to return to the football pitch in Serie A, mind you, I'm just saying Serie A, not Serie D, I'm saying Serie A in 2024, at the age of what, 48, you should get lobotomized. Please get an appointment at some mental asylum in Massachusetts or wherever they have these mental asylums. Didn't the Kennedys lobotomize one of their daughters? I think so.
Oh man.
Anyway,
once
I think
you
it
open
was
this door of conspiracies.
They did. They lobotomized one of their one of their daughters was, I think, depressive, and they just sort of kept her in the dark for many, many years. So if you think that Francesco Totti is in shape to play this kind of football that you're playing in Serie A right now with this tempo, this physicality, check in with the mental asylum. Then back to the Juric situation. Juric, in my opinion, is going to start losing so much hair in the next few days. Because I think even a hardened veteran like him, this is pretty difficult. Like, this is back to the wall kind of stuff. He was so open about the fact that they had a full-on fight with the players and the management after this Fiorentina thing. He just went out in the open and said, we had terrible words. We exchanged terrible words. To me, that was a big shock.
In a world where usually in sport you have coaches, players, directors doing all they can to be diplomatic, it's kind of like the thing with the agent of Dovbik, where he just comes out and says it flatly, because we saw all of those stories about Gianluca Mancini after the disaster at Fiorentina. And there are some people who say, well, you can't believe all of that. And I understand the skepticism when it comes to many of the newspapers and the websites when it comes to Roma, because if they're writing something, exclusively to them, there are often agendas, there's factions, who is aligned with who. And I can understand some being hesitant to believe it. But man, I have to say, to have a guy come out here and just say, oh yeah, there was a row. We said some pretty ugly things to one another. In a way, I respect it. Yet in another way, I am terrified. This is, again, as we record this, we sit here in October. Oof. I even though they won today, man, this really feels like the inevitable being delayed, because what's next? Trip to Veneto against a team that Roma always without question, no matter the situation, they always struggle against Verona, particularly when they are playing in that cesspool known as Veneto. I have to tell you, the end, it's like that Simpsons gif, the end is near with the person with the belt. That's what I feel like, because this is, I'm not expecting much after tonight. I mean, if Roma had gone out tonight and did what Fiorentina did to them, or what Lazio did to Como, win 5-1, I would feel so much better, because sometimes it does matter the fashion in which you win, or the fashion in which you attain a draw. If it's a draw against a big team in that very last moment, what that can do to propel you in the next matches, I think has a very big impact. Going to Veneto, playing against a Verona side that unimpressive, but even if they were impressive, or even if they were bottom of the table, the very worst team you have ever seen, Roma always struggle against them. I always think about, was it last season or the season prior when they lost 2-1 at, I think it was last season, wasn't it? Because
no, John, wait, but which are you framing? Because I actually think the more shocking one was in Mourinho's first season, right, where Pellegrini has the back heel.
The goal. Yes, that's the one I always refer
to. Okay,
yes.
That's Mourinho's first season. And that ended, I think that ended 3-2 in Verona's favor. Yeah. That's the thing. It was 3-2.
Oh, my word. Well, that is the one, though, where the goal of Pellegrini was superb. It was absolutely superb. So I have to be frank. I'm not expecting Roma to win against Verona. So assuming that is the case, and again, I am completely
so you're driving to the fact that we are just delaying the sack. We're delaying Juric's execution, basically.
Yes, the hangman went home just for a couple of days, in my opinion. And the thing is, after having spoken to somebody at the agency of Ramadani, which again is the new agency representing Daniele De Rossi, and of course, the day that I come out with this update for the patrons, Corriere dello Sport, they come out with a story more or less saying the exact same things. Now, I am going to assume the agent that I talked to is also talking to the writer who published that story, because the things he wrote are exactly the things that I said in this patron update. De Rossi is not going to come back, in my opinion. I won't say it's a 0% chance, just the fact that you have him still under contract for 2.5 more years. Just that fact alone means it can't be zero, because as long as he's under contract with you, there is always going to be a possibility. But given the way things ended, and this is, again, coming from the new agency of De Rossi, De Rossi moved away from Lucci to Ramadani because he was very upset with Lucci not intervening when it became widely known that the Friedkins were considering sacking him. De Rossi was very angry that Lucci did not try to have some conversations. And in fact, Lucci did not even speak to anybody at Roma until, again, this is according to the agency of De Rossi, until De Rossi was officially sacked. And that caused a huge rift, which just a couple of weeks later leads to De Rossi moving to Ramadani. Given what I've been told from the new agency of De Rossi, it just seems like things were very ugly when he left. So I unless they are able to repair things in a very short amount of time, it is difficult for me to envision him coming back. Now, you sack Juric. Andy, I can't do the thing where we get a manager from the Primavera to step in for the remainder of the season or the interim. I can't do it. I can't. I can't do the thing that you warned all of us about this Napoli thing. I can't do it. I cannot.
That really haunts you. That haunts you.
Ever since you said it, man, and you spoke it into existence.
Yeah, I spoke it into existence. It's true. It's true.
I mean, I felt the prospect
of it. Well, but listen, but now, but you see,
by
but
November,
you see,
but, I can't yeah, do it.
Yeah, but see how this works is that now people are excited that there is this risk. For a lot of people, including some of our patrons, there is this excitement over who the new name will be. It's always the same thing. It's like the transfer market. You know, it doesn't matter what it's all about. It doesn't matter if we're pursuing an out-of-shape defender or if we're going for an unknown kid in Sweden. The excitement is in the uncertainty of what's next, of the new name. And so now, Angelo Mangiante of Sky Sport is one of the biggest proponents of this idea that Roma have already lined up a whole series of candidates. He already went out of his way to say that the Friedkins personally discarded Thomas Tuchel as a manager back when De Rossi was sacked and preferring Ivan Juric over him. Now, yeah.
Please stop.
Even when
you know how much that pisses people off to hear.
Yeah, that's
there's
crazy.
There's no reason to write that.
There is no reason to write that. There's no reason to report that. You know, I struggle to believe that something even like that was entertained, given how much money Tuchel makes and how much money Juric makes in that situation like this. So, but it is. I think a lot of people are attracted to the fact that you don't know what's going to happen. And the prospect of seeing some big name, whatever that big name is always appealing. The thing is that there is no guarantee that whoever may end up replacing Juric in a scenario involving his sacking would be considered a big name by our fans. So that would fuel more discontent. So really, we are in a situation where we just have to survive day by day and see how it goes. That's all we can do, really. I mean, we've tried the other way. We've tried to project ourselves into the future with De Rossi. That didn't work, not at all. So scrap that. And instead, right now, we are surviving day by day, week by week, at least until the end of the season, hopefully.
Oh,
and mind you, it's Halloween. So this means that the season has been in effect only 2 months. Like, we are talking as if we've just been through Vietnam, but we are 2 months into this new season.
I mean, just the prospect of three managers before the holiday is madness. This is madness. I don't even, I was trying to work in a 300 quote there, but I'm far too tired now. I can't do it. I was going to go full Gerard Butler, but I can't conjure the necessary enthusiasm. No,
keep it for Hellas Verona, because that will be madness.
Okay. Yikes. Well, we will leave it there. Back after Verona, the terrifying prospect of Verona. We will chat again in a few days, everyone. Until next time. Ciao.